Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And so the year is almost gone, 2015, and we just have a couple of weeks and then we will be starting the year 2016. So what have we done for the year 2015? Maybe there are regrets that we have not done as well as we should. Well, friends, let all the past failures be forgotten. If there is anything that we want to think about our past failure, we must think of how we may be able to improve in the year 2016 so that we will not repeat the same failure. And then if we have been very successful in the year 2015 in the way of serving our Lord, let us be very thankful to Him. And then, let us not rest on our laurels. Like Paul says, forgetting all those things which are behind. So we must also forget our past success and look forward to the year 2016 and ask the Lord and plead with Him to enable us to do better for Him in the year 2016. I hope that will be our resolve for the year, for the new year. The subject this morning is effective service for the Lord, and I speak particularly from one verse in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter 1, 13, which says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, in Australia, I've yet to see, or I very, very rarely see a tradie in Australia not wearing shorts when he's working. Yes. Have you ever seen one? I can't remember seeing any tradie wearing anything other than shorts working when he's working. Now, I suppose wearing shorts would be something very, very practical for a tradie to wear. He will be more flexible, he will be more mobile in his movement in that kind of attire. But we know that in some countries, particularly in the Middle East and some Asian countries, it is not traditional for men to wear shorts. They wear skirts. Yes. And it's not easy for them to move around. And so if they wanted to be very mobile and flexible, what they will do is they will pull up their skirts and then they will tie the bottom of the skirt around their waist. Yes. And that is what is meant by girding up the loins. Yes. So Peter, in writing to the church that was scattered, or the Christians who were scattered in the Asia Minor region, said this to them. He challenged them, "Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind." In other words, what Peter was wanting them to do was to be very, very prepared in their hearts and in their minds. Yes, in the service of the Lord, they must be in the state of preparedness. Now, God's word tells us that we are soldiers. We are, first of all, sojourners. Sojourners traveling through time on planet Earth. And then we are also soldiers in the King's army. And then we are also servants of the one true living God. Now, this morning, I'd like us to consider instruction about our Christian service unto the Lord as we think of ourselves as sojourners, as soldiers in the King's army, and also servants of the King of Kings. Now, verse 13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Yes. Gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, be prepared as sojourners, as travelers through this world. And be prepared as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also be prepared as servants of the great King, the King of Kings. And then the next thing that we need to be doing is we must be sober. So be prepared, be sober. And then finally, be hopeful in these capacities that we are in as travelers, as soldiers, as well as being servants. So gird up your loins as sojourners. Now we are travelers, as we said, travelers traveling through time. For some, the journey is a little longer, and for others, a little shorter. But I would say that most of us will travel through time for a period of about maybe 70 years or so. Yes, and the Bible tells us that we are living in tents, in tabernacles, living in tents. Our bodies are like tents, our bodies are like tabernacles. That's what the Word of God says. Now, if you go outdoor camping, what do? When you finish camp, or when you start camp, you pitch your tent. When you finish your camp, what do? You unpitch your tent and you fold up your tent, and where do you go? Of course you go home, all right? So, life on the earth is like that. We spend our time on this earth for a short period of time, a few years, and then at the end of those few years, what do? We move on, yes? We move out of time and we enter into eternity. Out of time into eternity. We pack up our body, we leave time, enter into eternity. Now the question is, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? After we have packed up our tabernacle, after we leave time, where do we go from here? Now as travelers, of course, we must know where we are going. Now, if you are traveling, to Singapore, then you obviously must be heading to Singapore. So when we go camping, when we finish our camp, we head for our destination. And as we said, when we finish camp, our destination is home. That is where we will go after our camp. But where do we head for after we have folded our tabernacle on this earth? Where do we go for? I'm talking about folding up our body. After folding up our body, where do we go from here? Do we head for our heavenly home, or will we end up somewhere? The Word of God says that you are either heading for your heavenly home, or you will be heading for eternal hell, where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity. Yes, and actually that place is designed for the devil and for his fellow devils, and also for those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now the Lord in John chapter 14 tells us the place that he has gone to prepare for us. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Friends, this is the destination we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will be heading to. The place where the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for us. This is where we will be going if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the place that he has prepared for will be for those who are in the state of preparedness to go. So are we in that state of preparedness to go to this place? Yes. Now the question would be, how may I enter into this state of preparedness? Now, my dear friends, you can enter into this state of preparedness provided you are walking in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14 verse 6 says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My dear friends, he says he is the way. Now, if we want to be in the state of preparedness, we must be walking in the way. We must be walking in Jesus, in other words. Question is, are we walking in that way? Yes. Have we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we believe that he died for us on the cross of Calvary? Do we believe that he was buried for us? Do we believe that he rose up from the dead for us? My dear friends, how prepared are we in taking this journey to our heavenly home? Yes, for unbelievers, you'll be very, very unprepared if you are not walking in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ has spoken about. He says, I am the way. Now, what about us believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? How prepared are we taking this journey? to head for our heavenly home. How prepared are we? Spiritually, we must be prepared. We must be in the right frame of mind. So that's the reason why Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. We must be in the right frame of mind, in the state of readiness. Some years ago, my wife and I had the privilege of staying with a couple of friends, a young couple, yes, in our travel. And they were working, and we were on holiday, yes, and we look at them every morning. They were really in the state of preparedness for work rather than for eating their breakfast. You know why we know that? We know that because they ate their breakfast standing up. They were very, very much in, very well prepared for going for work. And so they very, very hurriedly ate their breakfast standing up, and then off they would go to work. They ate like the children of Israel ate their first Passover. Remember, on the night when the children of Israel, on the night before the day that the children of Israel were leaving in for the promised land, on the night, the last night they were in the land of Egypt, that was how they ate their Passover. Yes, they ate their Passover very, very hurriedly, very, very well prepared for the journey ahead of them to enter into the promised land. Now, why did they do that? Now, they did that because God told them to do that. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, I read for you the verse. God said this to the children of Israel. And thou shalt ye eat. Eat what? Eat the first Passover. The last meal in the land of Egypt. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Eat it in haste. It is your Passover. Eat with your loins girded. They must be in the state of preparedness to leave the land of Egypt, to lead to the land of promise, which God promised their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, the Israelites must leave this land because God told them to leave that land. And that land was the land of slavery. The children of Israel were slaves to the Egyptians in that land. Now, what does Egypt represent? Of course, Egypt represents slavery because the children of Israel, when they were in the land of Egypt, were slaves to the Egyptians. So as far as we are concerned, Egypt is representative of slavery. And as far as we are concerned, it is slavery to sin. Now, at the start of the Exodus, the Israelites were in the state of preparedness to leave the land of Egypt. Their loins were girded up for this journey to go back to the land of promise. Now, friends, do we have this preparedness to leave our Egypt, the world, and all it represents, and the slavery to sin to enter into the kingdom of God? Now, if we are not in this state of preparedness, we are still living in our sin. Yes, we are still living, we are slaves to sin, and if we are slaves to sin, obviously we do not have any hope of entering into the kingdom of God. If we are slaves to sin, we are still outside the kingdom of God, in other words. Now, my dear friends, what state are you in? Yes, are you still in Egypt, or have you come to a state where you are very, very prepared and that you have already actually left the land of Egypt and have entered into the promised land? Now, perhaps in our midst, there are those who had this preparedness years ago when we first came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We took our first step of faith, and then we left our Egypt, and then we entered into the land of promise. Yes, we entered into God's kingdom. But then today, like many of the Israelites who were wandering in the wilderness, we keep looking back to our Egypt, just as the children of Israel kept looking back to Egypt when they were suffering, when they were feeling hungry, thirsty. They thought of the food that they had in the land of Egypt. Actually, they were not really that hungry because God provided them with heavenly food, manna. But they kept on thinking about the food, the good food that they had in Egypt, and they wanted to go back to the land of Egypt. My dear friends, perhaps we are like them today. Yes, we keep on wanting to go back to the world. The world beckons us, and then what do? We let our loins down. We ought to be growing from strength to strength, but we are not growing from strength to strength as we ought to be growing. We are supposed to be risen with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are not risen with Him. We are supposed to be setting our affections on things above, but we are not setting our affections on things above. In what state are we in, my dear friends? We are consumed by our ambition, consumed by our investments on this earth, and consumed by many other earthly things. Now, there is nothing wrong with being ambitious. In fact, we must be ambitious. There's nothing wrong with investing on this earth. Nothing wrong with that. But the problem with many of us is that we are so consumed by them that all these things become more important to us than the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we are so attached to this world, and that we do not gird up our loins by the way we live, and we appear to be wanting to live on this earth for a long, long time, even forever. Isn't it true for many of us? But that must not be the case, my dear friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our destination is the place where the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for us. We must see ourselves as travelers, strangers and pilgrims, sojourners, traveling through time on this planet Earth. We must look at Abraham and see him as our example. You know, the Word of God says this of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. I read for you the two verses. By faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. He saw himself as a pilgrim, a traveler in the land of promise. And he lived in tabernacles. He saw the earth as a temporary dwelling, and he was looking forward to that heavenly city, whose maker and builder is God. My dear friends, we must be like Abraham. We must gird up the loins of our minds and see ourselves as strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And as years go by, our taste for this earth must become weaker and weaker. And our taste for heaven, the taste for our heavenly home, must become stronger and stronger as the years go by. Now, is that happening to us? Now, if we are growing in the faith, that must be happening to us. If we see ourselves as sojourners, travelers, pilgrims and strangers, that must be happening to us. Next, we must get up our loins as soldiers in the king's army. Yes, so we are sojourners. We must see ourselves as sojourners, and then we must see ourselves as soldiers. And we must gird up the loins of our minds as soldiers. Now let us remind ourselves that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our enemies are spiritual enemies. My dear friends, if we are not vigilant, and if we do not get up the loins of our mind, in next to no time, we are going to fall. In next to no time, our testimony is going to be destroyed. Because Satan, our adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If we are not vigilant, if we do not get up the loins of our mind, friends, we will be chewed up in no time. We will lose our testimony. Modern Israel was normally battle ready. When I talk about modern Israel, I'm talking about the Israel that came into being in the year 1948. For 2,000 years, of course, Israel was not a country, but in 1948, the modern Israel was born. Now, Israel, as it were, always had their loins girded up. Yes, they were very, very well prepared for war. That is why in all their wars that they fought up to the year 1973, they beat the Arabs all the time. They were surrounded by Arabs, and today they are still surrounded by Arabs. In time past, up to 1973, they always beat the Arabs. Then in the year 1973, in one single moment, when they let their guts down, when they let their loins down, as it were, they did not gird themselves up properly. On that single one day, the day of Yom Kippur, Yom is day, Yom Kippur is the day of atonement, a very, very religious day observed by the Jews. They let their guts down. And on that one single day, the Arabs attacked. It was a coordinated attack. They attacked Israel, and Israel nearly lost the war. Yes, but thankfully, God intervened, of course, and Israel was spared. Israel was able to beat the Arabs back. Yes, my dear friends, if we are not vigilant, we will be like what happened to Israel on Yom Kippur in the year 1973. Yes, the enemies will come. Our enemy will attack us. We need to have our loins, the loins of our mind, well girded up. But the question is, what must we be girded about with if we want to win our spiritual battles? What must we be girded about with? In Ephesians chapter 6, remember when we studied the whole armor of God, the word of God says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth." We must be girded about with truth. Yes, that is what we must be girded with. And what is truth? My dear friends, this truth that we are talking about is the Word of God. Without being girded with the truth of God, my dear friends, we cannot be set free from our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ makes it very, very clear in John 8:32. He says, "And ye shall know the truth," meaning the Word of God, "and the truth shall make you free." Except we know the truth, my dear friends, we cannot be set free. We must know the truth, we must believe in the truth. And then, my dear friends, we will be set free from the power of sin and from the power of the evil one. Now, if we do not know the truth of the gospel, my dear friends, we are not even children of God. If we do not know the truth of the gospel, if we are not children of God, my dear friends, we are not soldiers of God, we are not in His army. My dear friends, we must know the truth, believe it, so that we may be soldiers in the King's army. You know the truth of the gospel. You must know it and must believe it so that you will be a soldier in the King's army. And we must get ourselves about with the truth so that we may be able to defend ourselves against untruth. We must know the truth. Now, if we do not know the truth, we will be tossed to and fro, yes, and be carried about by every wind and doctrine. Sad to say, today the church is infiltrated by those with untruth, and they come into the church in sheep's clothing. In actual fact, they are wolves, ravening wolves. And we look around us, we can see that many churches today actually are not preaching the gospel of truth. They have fallen away. You know why they fall away? They fall away because false pastors, false teachers, false preachers have come into the church and brought in a teaching that is different from the Word of God. They bring in another gospel, which is not another gospel, because there is no such a thing as another gospel. They bring in a gospel that is untrue. Now, how could wolves in sheep's clothing get into the church? How could they get into the church, you ask? You know, all the churches that we look around today that have fallen away, once upon a time, were like us. Bible believers, they're all like us. They were all like us, once upon a time. But friends, they have fallen away. But the question is, how could wolves in sheep's clothing get into those churches? My dear friends, the reason is this. The leaders and the members of the church during those times did not know the Word of God. Or if they knew the Word of God, they did not know it well enough. That's why wolves in sheep's clothing were able to infiltrate the church. Now, my dear friends, we must be well girded with the truth of God, must be well girded about with the truth of God, so that we may be able to fight our battles for the Lord. How could we fight our battles for the Lord, my dear friends, if we do not know the word of God, if we do not know our weapons? Can a soldier go to fight if he doesn't know his gun, he doesn't know how his gun operates? He can't. He must know his weapon. Likewise, my dear friends, you and I must know our weapon. We must know the word of God so that we may be able to fight our battles well for the Lord. We must know the truth and gird ourselves about with the truth of God. During the Second World War, the Japanese thought that they had built a very, very mighty fortress in Singapore. Remember that? Yes, they thought that the fortress in Singapore would be impregnable. There was no way that Singapore was going to fall. And they thought in their defense of Singapore that the Japanese during the Second World War would be attacking from the south, that they would invade from the south. And so all the army in Singapore under the British pointed all the guns and the cannons towards where? Towards the sea, towards the south. But you know what's the truth? The real truth was the Japanese invaded from the north, not from the south. And so Singapore collapsed very, very quickly. Why? Because they did not gird themselves with the truth. Yes, they were girded about with untruth. They thought that the Japanese were going to come from the south, which was untrue. Well, the truth was they were going to come from the north. And because they were not girded about with the truth, Singapore fell. My dear friends, we would be most vulnerable to the attacks of the evil one if we are not girded about with the truth, with the word of God. We must know it well so that we may be able to fight effectively for the Lord. Then thirdly, we must gird our loins as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why must we gird ourselves as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why must we do that? My dear friends, we must gird up our loins as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we may be very alert and very, very prepared to serve our Master. Our Lord Jesus Christ said these words. He said in Luke chapter 17, verse 7 to verse 10, he says, "But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." My dear friends, in order that we be alert and ready to serve the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave the example of this servant who at the end of the day admitted that he was but an unprofitable servant. Now, when a servant serves his earthly master, what does he do? He girds up his loins so that he will be at his very, very best when he serves his master. Now, even though he's very, very tired after a day's work in the field, after he has plowed the field, after he has fed the cattle, then in the evening when he comes into the house, he still girds up his loins and he serves his master. And here we have an earthly master, and yet the servant has to already serve him with that kind of best that he has. But dear friends, whom are we serving? We are serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the whole wide universe. We are serving our Redeemer. How much better must we be serving him? How much more girded must our loins be in our service unto this King of Kings? Yes. How much better must we be serving in terms of giving him our heart and our mind in our service unto him? And even if we were to give him our very best at the end of the day, we must still admit that we are but unprofitable servant unto him, because we cannot add one bit to his glory. Now, the point of what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here is that God's standard is so high, so absolutely high that we must give him our very best. Because our very best is still not good enough. We must give him our very, very best. Our service done unto him must be done cheerfully and with utter devotion. That's what the Lord says we must be doing as servants of the one true living God. Serve him cheerfully and with utter devotion. Yes, the main thing that we do must be to serve him for his glory. It does not matter what kind of service that we give, no matter how menial our service is. My dear friends, the most important thing is we give him our very best. Now, I cannot regard my service as a preacher to be better than your service for the Lord. If you serve, let's say, as a cleaner, because on that day, when we all appear before the Lord, I appear before the Lord as a preacher, you appear before the Lord as a cleaner, he's going to ask you these questions. How well did you clean the toilets that you were supposed to clean? How well did you clean the floor? And did you perform your service cheerfully? Did you do your very, very best as you would do unto me? And these would be the questions he'll be posing to you. And to me, he'll be saying this. Now, how well did you prepare your messages? What kind of messages did you preach? Did you preach for what purpose? For your glory or for the glory of the Lord? These are the questions that he's going to pose to me. So, my dear friends, the bottom line is this. We must all serve the Lord cheerfully. Give him our very best. Serve him with utter devotion as servants of the one true living God. The loins of our minds must be well girded up in our service unto him, so that on the day when we see him face to face, we will be able to hear him say this to us. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now look at verse 13 again. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. For our effective service unto the Lord, we must be sober. That means don't be drunk. Be in the right frame of mind. Be sober. We must not be in the state of drunken stupor if we want to serve the Lord. Now, how can a traveler, remember we are supposed to be travelers, sojourners, servants, and soldiers. Now, how can a traveler travel if he has done himself stupid? My dear friends, he can't travel. Now, think of the people in those days. How did they move about? How did they travel? They walk or they would go on the back of animals. Now, have you ever seen how a drunkard walk? He can't even stand up, let alone walk. So if a person is drunk, how can he climb up onto his animal to ride on his animal? Impossible for him to do that. Yes, and today, of course, if we are drunk, we can't drive. Yes, so we can't travel, we can't drive. And then surely, my dear friends, if we are not sober, we cannot be entrusted with responsibilities. We want to serve, but we cannot be entrusted with responsibilities because our mind is not sober, we can't do that. I still remember years ago, this top executive in our company, he was the top man in our Far East. He was actually a very, very brilliant man, very eloquent. This American was very, very eloquent. He had very strong leadership qualities, very, very powerful guy. And we thought that this man was going to climb up and that one day he was going to be the topmost gun in the company. But then as the years passed, we realized that so many people were bypassing him. Those who reported to him were promoted over him. And we were wondering why that was happening to him. And finally, we discovered the reason for his being in that position. Because many a time he was found drunk. One day he was found even in the toilet, drunk in a public toilet. That was how drunk he was. That was why he was never promoted to a higher position. My dear friends, if we want to serve the Lord, we cannot be in the drunken state. I'll explain a little bit more about that. Then as soldiers, we must not be drunkards too. A soldier can't go to war if he's not sober. He will be putting his life at risk, and he will be putting the lives of his fellow soldiers at risk, because his fellow soldiers are depending on him to fight along with them, and he's drunk, he's not able to defend them. and he cannot defend himself also. So if he's not sober, he cannot go to war. He cannot fight his battles. My friends, all of us here might be able to dissociate ourselves from drunkards. You will be saying, Elder Cole, why are you talking about drunkards? We don't drink. Why are you talking about drunkards? Now, my dear friends, it is true. We might not be drunk with alcohol, and that's true. But friends, we might be drunk with passions. That is what we can be drunk with passions, with anger, with temper that cannot be controlled. We could be drunk with what? With love for things of the world, love for money, love for power, and so forth. My dear friends, we can be drunk with passions. Now, how can a person be of good use for the Lord if he's drunk with anger? He can't control his temper. I remember years ago there was a leader in the church. Yes, in another church. He was one who couldn't control his temper. So much so that one day he challenged his fellow leader to a fight. Can you imagine that? He said, you want to argue? Let's go out and have it out. That's what he said. Now, how could he serve the Lord, my dear friends, if he couldn't control his temper, drunk with anger? Now, my dear friends, how could we be of use for the Lord if we are drunk with passions, drunk with the love of things of the world? And the things of the world could be legitimate, by the way, my dear friends. It is wrong when we love them more than we love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ said about our love for him and comparing our love for him and our love, even for our loved ones? This is what he says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Is it right to love father and mother? Is it right to love daughter and son? Of course, absolutely right. But the Lord says, if you love them more than you love me, you are not worthy of me. So, my dear friends, we can be drunk with passion. Yes? And we can be drunk with the love for power. Now, if a person is drunk with love for power, he cannot serve, because his interest will be to serve himself and not the Lord. Yes? So, my dear friends, how can also a person serve if he is drunk with his love for pleasures of the world? His only interest is to eat, drink, and be merry. How can he be of use for the Lord? No, my dear friends, we must be sober and we must be vigilant. Our loins, the loins of our minds must be girded up if we want to be of effective use for the Lord. And finally, for effective service, we must hope to the end. Hope to the end. Now, whether you are a sojourner, whether you are a servant, or whether you are a soldier, you must have hope. A soldier fighting in the battlefield must have hope. He must have hope that there will be victory. Yes, he must have hope that one day, or in time, the side that he's fighting on, or the country that he's fighting on, will be victorious. He must have that hope. Now, if he doesn't have that hope, my dear friends, how can he fight? But if he has that hope, he'll say, even if I have to die, I will still fight, because he has that hope. He knows that one day victory will come, and he's hoping for that victory. But dear friends, did you know that you and I have already gotten the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you realize that? Because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had destroyed him who had the power of death, even the devil. The power of and authority of Satan over us have been destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, if we say, Lord, I want to be victorious in you, we can be victorious in him, because Satan has already been defeated by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then, as servants, what do we hope for? Now, if you work, what do you hope for? Of course, you work very, very hard, but what do you hope for? You hope that at the end of the year, you'll get a good salary increase. That at the end of the year, if there's bonus, if bonus is going to be given, you'll get good bonus. You'll get good bonus. Or if there's profit sharing, you'll get good profit sharing. Yes, you expect to be rewarded. You hope to be rewarded. Yes, then as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, what do we hope for? When we serve him, what do we hope for? Do you ever ask yourself that question? Now the Lord has said that to those who are faithful, he will give them a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory, a crown of life. Maybe we say, no, I don't think I'm worthy enough to get any of these crowns. But surely, my dear friends, all of us who are serving the Lord are looking forward to the day when we appear before the Lord Jesus Christ and hear these words of commendation from him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Are you not looking forward to the day when the Lord says this to you? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter you into the joy of the Lord. Then, as travelers, surely we hope to arrive at the destination that we want to arrive at. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, surely, my dear friends, we are all looking forward to that heavenly city which the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for us. Are you looking forward to that place as travelers? My dear friends, we must be. Friends, for effective service unto the Lord, we must gird up the loins of our mind. In other words, we must be in the state of preparedness, in the state of readiness. As sojourners, we must be in the state of readiness to move on. We are in this world, but we are not to be a part of it. Yes, we must be very, very ready one day to move out of time into eternity and to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us all be very, very prepared that one day, suddenly, this is going to happen. We are going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. We must be prepared for that day. My dear friends, are we in the state of preparedness? Then we are, as believers, are also soldiers in the Lord's army. As soldiers, we must, of course, be very, very vigilant. We must gird about our loins with the truth of God. Yes, we must know God's word. We must know our weapon well so that we may be able to defend the truth against untruth. Then, as servants of the Lord, my dear friends, we must be in the state of preparedness and alertness to serve him so that when he comes again, we all may be found faithful. Then if we want to be effective in our service to him, we must be sober. We must not be drunk with the various kinds of passions such as anger, love for power, love for money, love for the world, love for the pleasures of the world, and so forth. And then as soldiers and as servants, my dear friends, of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must hope with certainty that one day we will all arrive at that city, that heavenly city. Do you have this hope that you will surely arrive at that heavenly city? I trust you have, my dear friends. If you are walking in the way that we were talking about at the start of the message, you will surely arrive at that heavenly city. And then on that day when we arrive before him, will we hear this, him say this to us? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness and your goodness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you, O Lord God, that you have chosen us, called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, so that we would be in your kingdom. And Lord, we pray that we may all take heed to your word, to gird up the loins of our mind, and be very, very alert and be very, very prepared to serve you as sojourners, as servants, and as soldiers of the one true living God. Father, we pray that all of us may serve you very, very soberly, not consumed by the things of this world, not consumed by the passions that we might have, but Lord, we pray that we may serve you with zeal, with hope of seeing you face to face one day. And thank you, O Lord God, that you have called us out of darkness and you have placed us in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are walking in him today. And one day when we pack up this tabernacle of ours, we will be heading for home and we will be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Thank you for this blessed hope that you have given to us. And we pray for those who do not have this hope yet. Father, we pray that you will be very gracious to them, speak to their hearts, cause them to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, so that they will be walking in the way that we are walking, even in the way of truth, and be heading home, so that one day when they leave this capsule of time, when they enter into eternity, they will be with you forever. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.